You're listening to a sermon series by Grace City Church, a church plant in Green Square in Sydney. For more information about us, visit gracecity.com.au.
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Well, good day there, Grace City friends and family. It's great to have you tuning in again today. If today is your first time doing so, welcome. So pleased that you've decided to join us today. My name is Tim Clemens. Look, I want to spend a few minutes with you thinking about gardening. You see, up until recently, I've not really considered myself much of a gardener. The thing is, that's kind of been okay because for the first 11 years of our marriage, my wife Emma and I have lived in apartments with no front or backyard and therefore no garden to worry about. But at the end of last year, we finally moved into a place with a small garden bed out the front of the house. Now, unfortunately, the previous tenants weren't exactly gardeners either, and so there was a lot of work to be done when we first arrived. Now, just by the way, that's kind of an inside joke. It doesn't really work on camera. You're not here. But the previous tenant was actually a member of our church. So if you're watching this at 9 a.m., pretty good chance he's doing a Zoom call with your kids right now. If you're watching this at 11 a.m., it's pretty good chance he's watching along with you. So love your work, Sam. Hope you're doing well. But look, the point is, for the first time in my life, I've had to become a gardener. Now, just to be clear, I know technically that being a gardener doesn't require a front yard. Some of you have somehow turned your apartment balconies into subsistence farms, so you're going to be fine if everything goes into lockdown, but that's not me. I've barely been able to keep the plants in my office alive, let alone maintain a garden. But the good news is I'm learning. And what I'm learning, even just in the last few months, is that there are certain irrefutable laws of gardening which cannot be ignored. Now, I'm not talking about New South Wales water restriction laws. I'm talking about the irrefutable laws of gardening that God has woven into the fabric of his world. Right? Laws like patient persistence. Patience, because most plants don't take time to grow. Sorry, they do take time to grow. And persistence, because gardening is like learning a language. Right? You're far better off doing a little bit on a regular basis than trying to do lots all in one go. And so even in the last few months, I've learned that you ignore that law to your peril. I may or may not have lost one or two of my recently planted gardenias due to neglect. But you know what? There are other irrefutable laws as well. In fact, the Apostle Paul cites one of them in today's passage. So if you've got a Bible, just take a look at Galatians 6, verse 7. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Now, gardening wasn't really a particularly common activity in the ancient world, but farming was. In other words, they didn't sow gardens to make their places look pretty, like we tend to do. They sowed crops so that they could eat and sell what was harvested. And so therefore, they didn't, like me, need to move to a place with a garden bed to learn that you reap what you sow. They knew it from birth. They knew that you couldn't expect to sow oats and reap a harvest of barley, because that's not the way God's world works, right? In God's world, a farmer reaps what he or she sows. Here's the thing. In today's passage, Paul is going to suggest that all of us are like spiritual farmers. And so for better or worse, the same laws apply. We reap what we sow. And so with that in mind, I want to do two things today. First of all, I want to try and explain what spiritual farming is and then give you a few practical examples of where this is already happening in and amongst our church community. But second of all, I want to encourage us to patiently persevere in spiritual farming without growing weary or giving up. So those two things again. Number one, what is spiritual farming? Number two, patient persistence. And my prayer is that by the end of today, you'd be able to join me in saying, you know what, no matter how long this thing lasts or how many different opportunities arrives, we shall not grow weary in doing good. All right, number one, what is spiritual farming? Well, to answer this question, we're actually just going to work our way through the logic of today's passage. So again, if you've got a Bible, make sure you get it open. We're going to be in Galatians 6, and we're going to be starting at verse 7 in just a moment. And we're going to take a few minutes to do this, but after we do that, I want to give you some examples of spiritual farming that's already happening in our community. So let's read verse 7 again. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." All right, so that's one of the irrefutable laws that God has woven into the fabric of creation. Thing is, in verse 8 and following, Paul goes on to apply that law to our spiritual lives. And so take a look with me at verse 8. Paul says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please their spirit, from their spirit will reap eternal life." In other words, there are two fields into which we can sow, and therefore two corresponding fruits that we can reap. Right, number one, if we sow into the field of our flesh, we can expect to reap, Paul says, destruction. Now, it's worth saying, flesh in the Bible doesn't refer to our literal flesh or our physical nature. There's nothing wrong with being physical creatures. That's how God made us, right? And so flesh in the Bible is actually a technical term for our sinful nature. And so therefore, the idea is that if we sow a life that's all about pleasing ourselves and indulging our sinful nature, the only harvest we can expect to reap is one of destruction. But if, on the other hand, we sow into the field of the Spirit, Paul says we can expect to reap a harvest of eternal life. Now, it's worth saying, Paul is not describing some kind of karmic relationship where what goes around comes around, nor is he describing some kind of works-based righteousness where God only saves those who've sown enough good seed to deserve salvation. Right? He's simply using a metaphor to spell out what the Christian spirit-filled life is supposed to look like now that we've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He actually did the same thing a few verses earlier, just with a different metaphor. So cast your eyes back up to chapter 5 and take a look at verses 24 to 25 with me just for a moment. Right, Paul says there, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now, I want you to notice the order of what he says there. Right, he doesn't say that if you crucify the flesh and keep in step with the Spirit, you can belong to Christ and live. No. He says those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. And then he goes on to say that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Again, it's a metaphor spelling out what the Christian Spirit-filled life is supposed to look like now that we've been saved by grace through faith in Christ. Thing is, different metaphors emphasize different truths. Right, keeping in step with the Spirit highlights the fact that God hasn't left us alone. He's given us His Spirit who jogs along beside us like a personal trainer, encouraging us to keep in step. Sowing and reaping, on the other hand, highlights the importance of sowing spiritual seed if we want to reap a spiritual harvest. Because remember, we reap what we sow. But suppose we ask, well, all right, what's the seed that we're supposed to sow? Well, that's where Paul goes in verse 9, so take a look. He says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Right, the seed we sow are good works, and the harvest we reap is eternal life. And so therefore, when it comes to spiritual farming, genuine Christians, or what we might call spirit-filled farmers, they don't give up. Rather, they sow the seeds of good deeds, knowing that one day they will reap a harvest of eternal life. Which is kind of why he goes to verse 10 as he does. He says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." All right, that's spiritual farming, right? We reap what we sow. And so the encouragement from Paul is to take every opportunity to sow the seed of good works, knowing that one day we will reap the harvest of eternal life. Now, before we move on, it's worth saying that I have been profoundly encouraged by the good deeds that people of Grace City have already been sowing both inside and outside our church community since this whole thing began. For example, we've got a team of people who cook meals and put them in the freezer at church for people who are in need. In the last couple of weeks, we've had lots of people take those and give them to family and to friends in need. But you know what? On top of that, I've also heard of other stories, you know, families cooking huge amounts of food and then delivering it to the doctors in their apartment block. I just think that's awesome. That's spiritual farming. Right, others of you have offered to buy and deliver groceries to those who can't leave their house. Now, many of you have let us as a church know your willingness to do that for other members. But I've also heard of two guys from church that have put up a notice in the foyer of their apartment block offering to help anyone in the block who needs it. Again, I think that's brilliant. Others of you are hosting people in your home, either because their flatmates are in isolation or because circumstances mean that they can no longer live where they used to. Again, I love the fact that we're able to jump to help one another when needs arise. Finally, there's the care team. Right, as soon as we could no longer meet physically, a team of staff and volunteers began systematically calling all the members of our church to check in and see how they were going. Now, they haven't made it through everyone yet, so if you're an onboarded member and you haven't received a call yet, don't freak out, a call is coming. But when it does, pick it up. Now, I got a call the other day, and I loved it, right? One of you called me, you asked me how we were doing, you offered to look after our kids, and then you prayed for my family. Eliani, thank you. It meant a massive amount to me, and it's a beautiful example of spiritual farming. All right, said I wanted to do two things. Number one, explain what spiritual farming is. Number two, encourage us to patiently persevere in spiritual farming. So let's move on to that second one, patient perseverance. I wonder if you noticed how many times the word not appears in our passage. Right, take a look. Verse 7, do not be deceived. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. And then again, verse 9, if we do not give up. It's interesting, there seems to be a recognition that doing good is something we can grow tired of. Again, I suspect that's why Paul chose the metaphor of farming. He wants to remind us that one of God's irrefutable laws is that we reap what we sow. It's only those who sow the seed who can expect to reap a harvest. And so, Grace City, don't grow weary of doing good. You know, I read an article a few weeks ago from a student pastor in China. At that stage, they were in their 8th week of lockdown, and so they'd had a bit of time to get used to the whole thing already. But what struck me was that he described this coronavirus wave with a few different phases. Right, phase one, shock. There was panic, fear, and anxiety as all the restrictions start to be introduced. Stage two, grief. People start getting frustrated, angry, sad as lockdown kicks in and they're prevented from meeting together. And stage three, boredom, right? In isolation, sinful habits like pornography start to kick in. People start feeling a growing sense of isolation and disconnection. But along with that came something that this pastor described as compassion fatigue. Now, I don't know exactly what he was referring to by that phrase, but I suspect compassion fatigue is something that's going to be an issue for us too. See, look again at what Paul says in verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. My hunch is that there's going to be no shortage of opportunities for us to do good over the next few months. Real question is whether we're going to get compassion fatigue and start growing weary of it. Grace City, I hope and pray that we don't. So with that in mind, let me try and preempt the weariness and speak into three different areas of our lives that I want us to use to do good for others. I'm going to address our time, our talent, and our treasure. Let's start with time. Now, depending on the makeup of your household and your job status at the moment, you may have a lot of time on your hands or no time at all. So if you've suddenly found yourself stuck at home with a whole lot of spare time on your hands, can I encourage you to resist the temptation to waste it all watching Netflix, or suddenly to decide that you're going to go and train to become an Iron Man or an Iron Woman because exercise is your only valid excuse for leaving the house? Nothing wrong with Iron Man and Iron Woman, though, right? Instead, why not choose to use your time to do good deeds for others? right? Join our care callers. Volunteer to join one of the teams handing out care packs to those living in public housing just down the road from us here at church. If you want more information about that, send us an email. Or adopt a healthcare worker, right? One or two of our members have done that already. Or why not join the internship program here at church? Now, it's obviously going to look very different to what it used to, but it's still a great way to use your time and keep doing good. There are others of you, however, who may feel like you have no time at all. For example, parents of young kids. If your house is anything like mine, I'm guessing you're doing it pretty tough right now. You were weary before this thing began. Now you're beyond tired and you're shattered. If that's your life right now, I guess all I want to say is hang in there. I used to pray, God, give me a good night's sleep. Now I pray, God, give me the sleep I need to act like a Christian tomorrow. But parents, if it helps, maybe you want to remind yourself that looking after your kids and raising them to know and love the Lord is an act of spiritual farming. Right? Every day you're sowing seeds, and in due time, those seeds will reap a harvest, both in your life and theirs. So don't grow weary, don't give up. All right, that's your time. Let's talk about your talent. I think there's plenty of ways that we could apply this, but let me speak to two groups in particular. First of all, our doctors and healthcare professionals. There's a number of you, but I spoke to one of you the other day and you said that even though work had certainly stepped up, it still felt a little like the calm before the storm. Now, like you, we're all praying that that storm never comes. But if it does, I want to encourage you to keep trusting God and sow those seeds of good works. Right, the chances are you're actually going to need to put your own health at risk in order to serve others. Your flesh, right, your sinful nature, will want you to run from that. The flesh only cares about self-preservation. Don't give in to it. Rather, sow to the Spirit and keep serving. Because as you do, remember that you follow the example of one who not only risked his life, but gave his life to save people like you and I. So don't grow weary. But second of all, I want to speak to anyone with tech, camera, or video editing skills. Right, several of you have sent in kind comments saying how thankful you are for the way that we've been able to take the whole church experience online so quickly. For those of you who have sent that in, please know that it's much appreciated. That being said, I think it's worth all of us being aware of something. We are currently suffering from what I think the business world would call a key man risk. I'm not being sexist. I'm saying that we pretty much, our entire ability to do church online currently rests on the shoulders of one man. His name is Jade Harge. If he gets sick, you're going to basically be stuck with me filming myself on an iPhone. Now, I know that most of us would actually be fine with that, and I love you for it. But in case you hadn't noticed, settling for fine isn't really what we do around here, right? It's not the church that we've built together. And so with that in mind, if you've got moderately decent skills with a camera, tech, or video editing, then please let us know. Right? Because Jay's not going to grow weary and tired and give up through any lack of zeal. But unless we help him out soon, his body may not give him a choice. So please do get in touch if you're able to help with your talents in any way here at church. Third, your treasure. Because the last thing I want to encourage you to do is to use your treasure to do good for others. Now, I suspect that there will be several opportunities that present themselves to you in organic ways over the next few months. If and when they do appear, please take them. Give of your treasure to meet the immediate needs of those around you, either by buying groceries, covering rent, or just paying a bill. Right? That's a very practical way that you can keep doing good in this season. That being said, let me tell you about something that we're in the early stages of developing as a church. Fairly soon, we're going to have something that will be called something like a financial assistance fund managed by a few members of church that we're going to be able to use to meet the immediate needs of our members. Now, in due course, we may open up a separate fund so that you can donate to it when and if you feel led. But I met with the office holders of church this week, and we decided that at least to begin with, we're going to reallocate $10,000 of church finances and set that aside for the financial assistance fund. Now, it may well be that $10,000 is more than enough to meet the needs of those doing it tough among us right now. After all, the government seems pretty keen to provide as much financial assistance as it can. That being said, it may not be. We're still trying to get a sense of how everyone's going at the moment and where the needs might be. And so it may be that we decide to reallocate more funds later on. Now, we're still in the early stages of getting this off the ground, so we're not quite ready to do anything just yet. But we know it's urgent, and so we'll keep you updated on the progress of this over the next week or two as it unfolds. But with that in mind, in addition to meeting the immediate needs of those around you, can I encourage you to keep giving generously to church as and when you're able to? Right, I'll do a proper finance update in a few weeks' time, but in addition to reallocating some of our finances to meet the needs of those among us, we as a church are actually trying to manage our expenses to meet this new challenge. That includes the decision to put off hiring a new pastor for the next 6 months and reallocate some of that to the Financial Assistance Fund. So time, talent, and treasure. Let me close. Grace City, we're all spiritual farmers. And so therefore, can I encourage you to join me in saying we shall not grow weary in doing good, either with our time, our talents, or our treasure. For we know that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Why don't you join me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ we have the Spirit. In Christ we already live, and so I pray that you would help us as a church to keep in step with the Spirit. As spiritual farmers, would you help us to sow to the Spirit, knowing that those who sow to the Spirit will reap a harvest of eternal life. Lord God, in this season there will be so many opportunities to do good that present themselves to us. Would you help us to give ourselves to patiently persevere in doing good, to not grow weary or ever give up, trusting that if we keep going, we will in due time reap the harvest of eternal life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.